This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Friends who do not celebrate Christmas because they say December 25th is really a pagan holiday. While I agree that Jesus may not have been born on December 25th, he certainly was born as described in the Bible. How do I respond to them?
Well, in a sense, tell them they're right.
It's that time of the year, Christmas time. What advice do you give? I mean, for a lot of the new Muslims, people who have found out what the purpose of life is, they've started to practice Islam, but it can be a little bit challenging now. The holidays come around with family and friends, and you know, this is a whole environment that you've grown up into. What do you like to tell? Words of encouragement, you know, getting through this time with the family, the invitations, the gifts, and all these other things that go along with it. And then sometimes even Muslims trying to appease their friends and neighbors, they'll even, you know, say, hey, I'm here with you. I got a Christmas tree, Merry Christmas, and, you know.
Well, you know, what can we say? But know your deen. Learn the religion. Know where the limits are, you know. Islam can be practiced anywhere. But you need to know what you can do and what you can't. Because if it's left up to you as an individual, you know, our desires have no limits. Mm-hmm. So for us to get beyond those desires, we need to have proper knowledge. And learning the deen will protect us, teach us and train us how to handle these kinds of situations.
Yeah.
You know? And there are complexities to them. There's no one answer, which we say in that sense, you just do this,
yeah,
regardless. Not in most cases, yeah, maybe you should do that. But there are some exceptions, there's some other circumstances that are there. And, you know, you have to weigh the harm and the benefit.
It's not all black and white.
Some of these circumstances, yeah. It's not clear black and white, yeah, all the time. Sometimes, yeah, it is, and, you know, it's easy to make a decision. But other times it's, you know, there are gray areas that you have to, you know, maneuver your way through. And what's going to help you make that maneuver is knowledge.
Yeah.
Knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. Because, yeah, that's what it's for. It is our guide. It is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Yeah. It's the straight path that, yeah, we pray for every day.
I often tell, you know, our Christian friends, and, you know, because we all have the same father, Adam, peace be upon him. We all descendants of Adam. So we want the best for everybody. We that's why we share this message of pure monotheism. And you have, so it's never our intent to try to insult or to talk bad about. But you also have certain Christians who don't celebrate Christmas. You have a lot of Christians who don't celebrate it because they see the roots of it.
Friends who do not celebrate Christmas because they say December 25th is really a pagan holiday. While I agree that Jesus may not have been born on December 25th, he certainly was born as described in the Bible. How do I respond to them?
Well, in a sense, tell them they're right.
And then we wouldn't ask Hindus to celebrate Eid, would we? Because Hindus, you know, usually worship the cow, and we're sacrificing, so we understand that. So nobody should take offense, should they? I mean, we're not trying to offend nobody. You have more of a right to celebrate when we have the Eids because we're connected through Abraham. But there's no really, when you look into the stems and the origins of Christmas and really what it's become now, just materialism and whatnot. But it's never our intention to offend nobody. I really make that point clear. But what do you have to say, Shay?
Well, you know, it's a matter of respecting people's rights to believe or not believe,
yeah,
to accept or not accept. It just doesn't have to be in a harsh and,
yeah,
offensive kind of way. But, you know, I mean, Christians should respect our right to differ,
yeah,
in the belief of God having a son, a begotten son. We have the right not to accept that.
Yeah.
You know, actually, the majority of Christianity in the early years, after Jesus was taken up, didn't believe that. This is something which came along later. It came from the Greek and Roman traditions and backgrounds, and that worked its way into the heart of Christianity. But, you know, I mean, all you have to do is read about Arius, the Bishop of Alexandria, and the Arian heresy. That's what it's called, the Arian heresy. Those Christians who didn't believe Jesus was God. Mm-hmm. And they were the majority in the East. Egypt, Palestine, Syria, you know, Turkey. These areas were Muslim, we could call it the precursors. Muslims really are the inheritors of that tradition.
Wow. So it's like the more you go back to the original, and that's what we're just trying to do. We're trying to go back to the pure organic way. You just mentioned something really profound. The more you go back to Jesus, peace be upon him, it was pure monotheism. He never ever claimed that he was God, a literal son of God. Never. You will not find any there. I think there's still that challenge, $1 million or more challenges, if anybody can bring any evidence or authentic proof that he ever said he's God or worship him. I think that challenge still stands, does it? It's out there. It's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then you mentioned something even more profound. Even his followers after him and then after him, still there was none of this. It's later you mentioned that this, and then you people can go research this when this started to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if one goes into the history and the historical records, you know, concerning James, mm-hmm. who there's one James they call James the Elder and James the Younger, right? And the Catholics, they celebrate James the Elder's martyrdom. He was killed. But James the Younger, then they sometimes mix these two up. James the Younger is the one who is described in the texts of the Gospels as being the brother of Christ.
His brother now, that's what it is described as.
Yeah, it is in the text.
Yeah.
This is not something somebody's bringing from outside. In the four Gospels, it's there. He's referred to it specifically. Not only that, they talk about Jesus' sisters, brothers and sisters. He's not the only one. But he became the head of the Jerusalem church, right? They call it Jerusalem church. Or they maybe even call him the first pope, you know, as a leader of the believers who believed in Jesus. And those who came from that tradition, you know, it was Paul who went into Greece, moved out of that region and promoted the idea of divinity of Christ. But the followers of Jesus who remained in Jerusalem, their belief was that he was a prophet of God. They did not believe he was Jesus. He was Christ, the Son of God.
This is a fact now. This is academically, I mean, you can go substantiate this. These are facts.
Yeah.
Hard facts.
Yeah. There are books written, but, you know, they don't get the kind of, promotion, etc. But there's a series of books you can go back in the library, you know, written by Christian scholars. One of them is called Just James.
Just
go
James.
Go and search that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just James. Yeah. Yeah. And this author, theologian, he gathered the information, and in it, after showing how the followers of James and the those who maintained the monotheistic approach that Jesus was not God, how they were hunted down and they were killed and their writings were destroyed, etc., etc., and it appeared that they were wiped out. Mm-hmm. But as he said, they weren't. The inheritors are the Muslims. that belief didn't die. He makes that statement in the end of the book himself, you know. So, but he brings all the information about James. So you know, this, most people don't know about James.
Yeah. So this is just this is us keeping in that in those teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him, on who he really was, a messenger of God, promoting the same message as all the other messengers that were sent, the pure monotheism. So by and staying away from anything that can displease God, so we just stay away from, let's say, because would that equal you saying Merry Christmas, does that equal that you confirm that Jesus was Son of God, died on the cross, all these other connotations that come with it? This is what you're confirming, that he had a birth date, that he was born, etc.
Yeah, this is the problem that, you know, people, because it's become such a cultural tradition, you know, people no longer look at its roots and where it came from and what it implies and everything else. It's just, you know, now just celebration. But those words, you know, belief that God had a son, a human being, born in this world, of a woman who the Catholics call the mother of God. Look at that. This is blasphemy. You know, the mother of God, that God had a mother? Come on, man. You know, they have, if you read up into Mariolatry, where they worship Mary as a god. You have a whole tradition, a whole segment of Catholicism that went into this Mariolatry in a big scale.
Yeah.
Mary was a god for them. So, mashallah, you know, there's a lot of information out there. Not just things written by Muslims, you know, but written by Christian scholars themselves. They have shown clearly that the Gospels that people are calling the Gospels of Jesus are just writings by individuals whose reality, whose identity were unknown. Mm-hmm. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, when you look in the Encyclopedia Britannica, well, who is this Matthew? They don't know. Who is Mark? They don't know. Who is Luke? They don't know. Who is John? They don't know. I mean, for most Christians, they think, oh, John must be John the Baptist, and, you know, this one is that, and that one. But the fact of the matter is, they don't know. These are anonymous documents, among many other, hundreds of other documents that are out there. They said that there are more than 50,000, you know, manuscripts, pieces of manuscripts on the Gospels. No two of them agreeing with every point.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, when you have that kind of confusion, scattered, mixed up, you know, how can you try to draw out of that clarity, reality?
Yeah, so like this is just to highlight those things, just so people have more awareness of what they're saying and what they're celebrating. And this is no attack or belittle the Christians or anything. This is just pointing out some obvious facts of why we would kindly exclude from participating. We don't try to force you know, our celebrations on anyone. So they shouldn't be forced on us also or looked upon because we're not, you know, saying certain words and terms that we deem that go ahead and offend God and would offend Jesus. We try to make our point clear and we just stay away from that respectfully, kindly, with compassion and love. I don't think anybody should take offense to that. Yeah. The same way I made that example, because the Hindus, for some people, don't know, they literally worship a cow. Is that right, Shia? This is part, you know, people are, you can go to jail in India for killing a cow. So Muslims, we celebrate Eid and we will, it's not the blood that reaches God, but, you know, we go and distribute this meat to poor, to family, and we can sacrifice a lamb, a cow, or whatnot. So we wouldn't ask the Hindu to to celebrate the Eid with us. They would be offended by that, right? So I'm just making this comparison. Why should people, because Muslims are so scared of offending someone and whatnot, but then they forget about offending the Most High when they fall into some of these celebrations. And I think if they point out some of the things you've mentioned and we talked about, this would actually be a good opening of discussion to have, to kind of, you know, talk about our purpose in life and really what we're here for in this life. Yeah.